tardiness, a wolf that's waiting at the door? As I was thinking about this, I was wondering, couldn't we call him more of a dog? I struggle with tardiness, and I fear too many of us do. But is tardiness really a wolf that's waiting at the door? I believe it is. President Bill Clinton was in office barely 6 months when he was referred to as the late President Clinton, and his wife Hillary conceded that it's maddening to keep him on any kind of schedule. Celebrities admit to purposefully being late for the purpose of receiving the attention or for the purpose of feeling in charge when they arrive. So what types of tardiness do we see in our classrooms? Students arriving late was my first thought, and perhaps teachers arriving late. Students coming to class with unfinished assignments. Or one that I face is students coming to class not being ready to recite their memory work when it's due. Perhaps to the younger students, when told to pull out their books, they take as much time as they can to get their books out and have the rest of the class waiting on them. One for us as teachers is going overtime when the buzzer rings, when it's the end of class. Get your students out there. Or for lunchtime or dismissal. There's excuses that we all use, at least I definitely do, and I've heard these, such as we've got a busy schedule and we just overbooked, or something came up and I couldn't be on time, and possibly that was due to my lack of proper scheduling. Or something like, I was just going to quick finish this, or I thought I could get it done before school was out, or before the class period. There's 7 characteristics that I want to look at just briefly, and these come from the book Never Be Late Again. I would encourage you to read that book. It's written by Diana DeLancer. It's addressed to adults, but surprisingly, I think we see a lot of these characteristics in at least small ways in our students already. And the first one is a rationalizer. He's a person who insists on blaming the circumstances instead of acknowledging responsibility for tardiness. And they might frequently be late for school or other appointments, and yet they feel it's not really a problem. Or they believe that other people are just too uptight about punctuality. Or they often attribute their tardiness to the circumstances that are outside of their control. And they will definitely make up excuses when they arrive late. Secondly, there's a producer. He's one who tries to do as much as possible in the time available to him. He feels like he needs to squeeze as much activity into a day as he can, and he views unproductive time as wasted time. Thirdly, we have a deadliner, and he's the person who enjoys the adrenaline rush during the attempts to beat the time target. They work best under pressure. They like the fast-paced lifestyle, and they often have difficulty getting motivated without an impending deadline. Fourthly, there's the indulger. The indulger has little self-control. He might have several bad habits that he's repeatedly tried to overcome, but has been unsuccessful in his endeavors. He tends to play things by the ear rather than sticking to a schedule, or he'll usually be impatient when he needs to wait on others, and he lacks long-range goals and daily plans. Fifthly, there's a rebel. He's a controller. He will deliberately run late for the purpose of defying authority or the rules. Rebels often feel little remorse for being late. In fact, they get a charge out of keeping others waiting on them. These people often have the ability to control their lateness. They have no problem arriving on time when it's to their advantage or it's something that they're excited about. Sixthly, we have the absent-minded person. These are folks who are perennially preoccupied, more distracted and less focused than the average person. And they frequently lose things, such as their pencils or pens or erasers or red pens. They often forget their books at home, or they forget what was discussed in class, or details of certain conversations. Seventhly, there's the evader. And these people put a higher priority on their own needs instead of attempting to be on time. and these would be procrastinators and perfectionists. According to a study done in San Francisco University, tardy people score higher in anxiety and disability and well below the punctual people on self-esteem and self-discipline. Habitually tardy people will shy away from and possibly even deny their problem of tardiness. They will tend to blame others, or the traffic, or weather, whatever other things you can blame on, while deep down they know that they are personally responsible for being tardy. Chronic tardiness doesn't just sabotage our relationships with our family and friends. It also whittles away at our self-esteem, and we feel like we're not in control of our lives anymore, which leads to jealousy of others and also leads to forms of depression. Tardiness impacts the lives of others negatively. Cindy Crawford said, "Tardiness is the biggest disrespect we can show to other people. Tardiness is selfishness. Others have likely gone out of their way to be punctual for a meeting, but me showing up late means that I didn't care enough about those people to be on time. It's showing, giving them the mentality that I am more important than you are." Philippians 2 verses 3 to 4 say, "Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit, but in humility count others more significant than yourselves. Let each of you look not only to his own interests, but also to the interests of others." Tardiness makes a bad impression. We as Christians are called to be respectable people. We're to turn others' thoughts to Christ rather than having others be frustrated at us. And tardiness affects the degree of respect that people have for us. A few thoughts that might go through the punctual person's mind as the habitually tardy person walks into a meeting are such like, he thinks his time is more important than mine. Or, I went out of my way to be on time, why couldn't he show the same respect? Or he just enjoys the attention that he receives by walking in late. Although most times these thoughts are not actually true, the tardy person is actually normally embarrassed to be walking in late. Yet tardiness does affect other people's perception of us. Is tardiness a wolf that's waiting at our doors? I believe it is, and possibly it's already inside of our doors. When we see it cropping up, let's look at the root issues. Usually tardiness starts deeper than just the surface issues that we might be seeing in our classroom. Take courage, tackle this wolf while it's still young. There will likely be some bad habits that we as teachers can curb if we keep our eyes open for the telltale signs.